KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. Temperature's been holding steady at 27 degrees for at least the past 3 hours. We look forward to be mostly cloudy this morning and partly cloudy, hopefully, by this afternoon, a high around 32. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A dedication ceremony was held Friday afternoon in Iowa City for the new Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences building on the University of Iowa campus. U of I professor and department chair Mark Blumberg said the six-floor, $33 million structure replaces the aging Seashore Hall located just east of Van Allen Hall. Blumberg calls the building a wonderful addition to our lives.
It's amazing. It's got windows, it's got light, it's got state-of-the-art classrooms and labs and places for our students to teach, you know, our graduate students who TA in classes. And it's got wonderful common spaces for undergraduates and graduate students to sit and talk and study and do all the things that they do.
This is the first centralized home for the psychology department, and Blumberg says it will position the U of I to better prepare students for learning modern psychology and finding jobs in the field.
As the sixth oldest psychology department in the country, we were founded in 1890. You just never ran into students. You can never have a conversation because you never saw them. And so finally we have a place, you know, we're like other departments now on campus where students could come and study and meet professors and talk with each other and learn and do their research. And so it's an amazing big step for us.
Blumberg says two of the top five psychologists in the nation during the 20th century earned degrees at the U of I. Ground was broken on a 64,000 square foot facility in October of 2018, and the project was completed on time and under budget.
And that meant that we were able to finish up some things that were critical but that we didn't know we were going to be able to afford. So by the summer, we will have completed everything we could have hoped to complete and still be under budget.
The Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences is one of the largest U of I departments with 1,200 declared majors, 500 minors, and some 23,000 student credit hours taught in psychology every year. Police in Creston report an accident Friday morning caused about $2,500 damage, but no one was injured. Officials say a 2008 GMC pickup driven by 57-year-old Jackie Trishel of Corning was traveling south on Sumner Street at around 7:50 a.m. Friday and had the green light to proceed into the intersection with Highway 34. A 2017 Jeep Cherokee driven by 35-year-old Adam Goodvin, also of Corning, was traveling east on Highway 34 and tried to stop at the traffic light, but due to the slush on the road, his SUV slid into the intersection and struck the pickup on its right side. There were no citations issued. Two people were arrested on separate charges Thursday in Mills County. 22-year-old Trayvon Chantel Harrington of Bellevue, Nebraska, was arrested for possession of a controlled substance following a traffic stop. Harrington was taken into custody at around 2 a.m. and held on a $1,000 bond. And Thursday afternoon, 59-year-old Michael Earl Gillenwater of Bellevue, Nebraska, was arrested at the Mills County Jail on a warrant for probation violation. His bond was set at $2,000. Gillenwater was being held in the jail as a result of his arrest this past Tuesday on two counts of possession of a controlled substance, drug stamp criminal penalties, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, a Democratic candidate for president, will be crisscrossing Iowa this coming week in the days leading up to the February 3rd Iowa caucuses. A three-term senator plans on engaging with caucus goers in rural, urban, and suburban communities. On Thursday, January 30th, Klobuchar will campaign in Sioux City, Council Bluffs, Atlantic, and Winterset. Details for those and other events are expected to be released soon. All events are subject to change if the impeachment proceedings progress well into the next week. In the meantime, you can check her campaign's website for the latest information. Iowa Congressman Steve King says he won't speak publicly about the case of a young girl who was raped by a family member and became pregnant, but he is open to talking privately with those involved. The girl was between the ages of 10 and 13. And King held a town hall meeting in Clear Lake on Thursday and was asked if he would support an abortion in a case like this, the same question that King was asked in August at a town hall meeting in Rockwell.
This is a specific case that people in the neighborhood know. And I don't want to say anything here or in front of the press that's going to put any more stress on anyone.
King is a longtime advocate of banning all abortions. He was noncommittal Thursday, though, as to whether abortions should be allowed when a girl who is not yet a teenager becomes pregnant due to incest.
That's way too tough a decision for a legislator or legislature to make. I don't want to touch that one right now because there are very, very few cases.
King, who is seeking a 10th term in the U.S. House, faces Republican challengers in the June primary. About 30 people attended his town hall meeting in Clear Lake. The controversy on where Woodbury County Supervisor Jeremy Taylor lives and how that impacts his standing as a voter and public official continued with new twists on Friday. County Auditor Pat Gill issued the ruling Friday that Taylor's voter registration is canceled because his new home on Christie Road is his primary residence instead of his previous home on Grandview Boulevard. Taylor says he still owns the original home and lives there part of the week, and the auditor ignores the overwhelming evidence,
including five statements from adjacent neighbors who testified that I have met the legal requirements of residency and do reside in the Grandview residence.
Taylor says he's taking the Woodbury County Auditor's decision to court.
I'm going to appeal this decision, which is my right to do, and just made that intention known in the county attorney's office, which will stay the vacancy hearing on Monday.
Taylor is a Republican who is also a candidate for Iowa's 4th District Congressional seat. On Monday, the hearing would have Auditor Gill, County Attorney Patrick Jennings, and County Treasurer Michael Clayton decide if Taylor should continue to serve as a supervisor representing his district. A petition from the district questioned Taylor's residency, and he says it's an attack against him by local Democrats. Auditor Gill declined to comment on Taylor's comments or his ruling, for that matter. An animal welfare group that gained access to an Iowa lawmaker's hog farm has posted a video and photos online that shows pigs suffering and even dying in what appears to be inhumane conditions. Members of California-based Direct Action Everywhere entered a hog farm owned by Iowa Senator Ken Rosenboom last April through an unlocked door. Rosenboom said the farm was managed then by others who didn't follow proper animal care protocols. He says his family is overseeing operations and properly caring for the animals. Rosenboom managed a law passed last year that heightens trespass penalties for undercover operations on farms. Two former officers at a Northwest Iowa agricultural cooperative have pleaded not guilty to federal fraud charges. Kenneth Earp and Calvin Deal entered pleas Thursday in U.S. District Court in Sioux City. Prosecutors say the two directed Farmers Cooperative Society workers in Sioux Center to lay higher-value soybeans over oats in grain bins and in trucks, and then conceal the scheme from customers and federal inspectors. Prosecutors say the scheme led to the overvaluing of the co-op's grain inventory in order to influence a lender's action on a loan. And the Iowa Department of Human Services announced Friday that there was a breach in the personal information related to some Dallas County income maintenance and social work cases. The breach occurred on November 25th of last year. There were 4,784 individuals whose information was included in the breach. The breach occurred when a custodial company mistakenly emptied boxes containing documents to be shredded into the office's garbage dumpster. The incident was not discovered until after the dumpster had been emptied. The DHS cannot be certain which document from each worker's cases had been printed. And as a precaution, notifications were sent to all case parties whose information may have been printed and thrown into the garbage dumpster without being confidentially shredded. The department has had no reports of any affected parties had their information misused. The types of information involved potentially could include name, mailing address, date of birth, social security number, driver's license number, banking or wage information, disability information, medical information, receipt of Medicaid, mental health information, provider information, substance abuse information, illegal drug use information, or prescription drug information. The DHS launched an internal investigation on December 2nd once the issue was identified by a social work supervisor. Officials found that the custodial worker was not aware of the confidential nature of the paperwork in the boxes under the employees' desks and throughout the paperwork, thinking it was trash. DHS has clarified with all employees that all confidential paperwork must be secured to ensure confidentiality of its clients, and the employees in the office were required to take a refresher confidentiality training course. The chance that this information was accessed in the process of it being transported from the office to the garbage dump is small, but officials say that the affected persons involved in the cases may wish to take steps to make sure their information wasn't misused. Anyone who receives a letter notifying them of the data breach can get more information if they are concerned their identity may be compromised, including signing up for free credit monitoring. They can call the TransUnion Credit Bureau at 855-288-5422. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.